Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13, entitled The Hamsa Avatar Answers Questions, text number 39. Do you think it's relevant? Aham yogasya sankhyasya satyasya artasya tejasa Parayanam dvija shvesta Shriya kirtir damasya cha Aham
I
Yogasya
of the yoga system
Sankhyasya of this system of analytic philosophy Satyasya of virtuous action. Ritasya of truthful religious principles. Tejasa of power. Parayanam the ultimate shelter. Dvija Shreshta O best of the Brahmanas. Shriya of beauty, Kirte of fame, Dhamasya of self-control, Cha also. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. O best of the Brahmanas, please know that I am the supreme shelter of the yoga system. Analytic philosophy, virtuous action, fruitful religious principles, power, beauty, fame, and self-control. Purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, the synonymous words satyasya and ritasya refer to, respectively, the proper or virtuous execution of religious principles and a convincing presentation of religion. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the sons of Brahma were struck with wonder at the presentation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and were thinking, what wonderful knowledge we have just heard. The Lord, recognizing their astonishment, spoke these words to confirm their understanding of Him. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahum Shibaraya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shrimane Bhaktivinanta Swam Nitaramane Namaste Saraswati Devin Gauravani Pusharine Nirvisesa Shunyavari Pastachari Starine Mancha Kalpatarub Yascha Kripa Sindhu Vayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O best of the Brahmanas, please know that I am the supreme shelter of the yoga system. Analytic philosophy, virtuous action, truthful religious principles, power, beauty, fame, and self-control. I think so. Not I think so, but it should be another person sitting on this Vyasa-san. But anyway, I hope I can be of some service to you all, some way or other. This is obviously a very, very wonderful verse. It's really, really wonderful because it establishes the personalism and destroys all concept of impersonalism. As here in the purport, it's explained that the sons of Lord Brahma were struck with wonder at the presentation of the which Krishna has given this wonderful instruction in previous verses, as we've all not me exactly, but most of you have been hearing. So that's why the Kumaras were thinking, what wonderful knowledge we have just heard. That was their contemplation. The Lord, obviously understanding the thoughts of the Kumaras, speaks this verse. Obviously, when we look at the first beginning interaction where Krishna had in his form of Hamsa, in his swan incarnation, when he first had an interaction with the four Kumaras, Lord Brahma, he set an example by offering obeisances to the Hamsa avatar, the swan incarnation. The Kumaras, on the other hand, at that time, they immediately questioned, who are you? They asked Krishna, who are you? Krishna, at that time, he didn't actually give a direct answer who he was. He was explaining what was the use of asking this question. And he analyzed in steps, actually the question you were asking doesn't make any sense. But in this presentation, in this verse, Krishna actually answers the Kumara's question directly. He presents himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the source of everything. In this verse, points out how he is the supreme shelter of all the yoga system, of all the analytical study of philosophy. He is the supreme shelter of virtuous action, truthful religious principle, power, beauty, fame, and self-control. So actually in this particular verse we can understand actually Krishna is giving a direct answer who he is. He is establishing his identity and obviously he points out in this verse that he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Obviously the Kumaras had a very soft heart. In other words, they were open. They were open to hearing the instructions of Krishna. Because they were open to hearing the instructions of Krishna, they were able to fully understand the transcendental wisdom. This concept of empathy is a very, very important factor. That to hear is very, very important. Whether we are in devotional community or even in outside community, empathy is a very, very important concept. It is accepted fact, not only in spiritual science, it is also an accepted fact in the outside world. There is so much conflict that takes place when there is conversation, interpersonal communication as such. And one of the major barrier to, or major factor, obstacle to communication is lack of empathy. Lack of listening. The beginning process of spiritual life begins with empathy. And the conclusion path of spiritual life also ends with good listening. If one doesn't have good listening abilities, then actually one cannot make any advancement. Good listening, obviously, in spiritual concept, is much more deeper than the concept that is taught in the outside world. The listening aspect of spiritual understanding is actually you practically demonstrate whatever you hear. Whatever you actually filter in things that are conducive to one's spiritual life, conducive to one's love of Krishna, and you actually practically apply it. That's why it's explained. Tadviri pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnana jnaninastatva darshina. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master. The first process, obviously, you approach the spiritual master out of humility. Without humility, without actually keeping all sorts of, you can say, keeping all sorts of preconceptions of oneself, what one thinks about spiritual life, what one thinks about themselves. One should keep aside all that stuff and actually approach the spiritual master out of humility. And when one approaches the spiritual master with that attitude, keeping away all the judgments, being judgmental or preconception of your identity, of who you are, of what you should do, what spiritual life is, when you keep that aside and you approach the spiritual master in that attitude, then one can actually inquire from the spiritual master. And when one inquires from the spiritual master, the instruction given by the spiritual master actually has an effect. It has an effect such a way that the instructions of the spiritual master establishes the attitude of rendering service. That is the proof that if you have a good listening power. The proof of having a good listening power is actually good attitude, a good service attitude. And in this way, we can actually see the truth as shown by the great realized souls. Obviously here, the Kumaras, though they asked that question, who are you? Nevertheless, Krishna was so kind. He was so, so merciful. Sometimes Krishna's mercy can be pretty heavy. It can be pretty cutting. As in Bhagavad Gita, he said, with transcendental sword of knowledge, slash your ignorance. He explains that to Arjuna. So, obviously Krishna presented this teaching in a very, very tactful, analytical point of view, as you can say, because Kumaras had that kind of conception, whether now or previously, they had that conception to approach the Supreme through analytical process. So obviously Krishna presented in an analytical way, explaining what was the use of asking this question, who are you? And once he established the principles of devotional service, then he explained. Then he could understand, oh, the Kumaras were actually very, very happy to hear the instructions given by him. Then he explained his identity of himself, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is the most expert in his ability to talk, interpersonal communication, as you can say. In this verse, in itself, Krishna says that he is the shelter of all yoga system. And that is a very, very important factor, especially for today's contemporary society. Everyone is, generally most of the people are into all this new agey type of concepts, ideas and stuff. So they like to mix in their gadgets and whatever the technology they have, along with the ancient Vedic system of philosophy, or even ancient concept of Egyptian philosophy and all that. They just like to mix everything in. So the concept of yoga is very, very popular. But unfortunately, the concept is also not very, very clear. It's not very, very pure or spiritual. It is very, very selfish motivated. The concept of yoga they have, or general populace have, is that they want to have a physical, you can say, physical strength or physical beauty. Why? So then they can look good for them, and good, they can look good at themselves. That's another concept of thinking, I want to lord over the material nature. I want to look like as if I'm a god. So this impersonalistic concept has spread throughout the world. It's not a basis of the philosophy doesn't only rely on, it doesn't stay in India itself, though it can be the source of it, but it's actually spread throughout the world. There's voidism and impersonalism. Srila Prabhupada, nevertheless, he came out of India to destroy this misconception of impersonalism and voidism and establish the supremacy of Krishna. So he taught the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is obviously understood to be the supreme of all the yoga system. Why? Because it's actually directly interrelated with the spirit soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this relationship with this soul and this Supreme Soul is actually connection through love and devotion. And because love and devotion is involved in it, so the concept of impersonalism is totally destroyed. So here Krishna, obviously he presents, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents all different yoga systems. People talk about yoga, but they don't know where the yoga system comes from, unfortunately. They don't realize that the yoga system actually is derived from Bhagavad Gita. They don't realize this, unfortunately. But when you explain to them, actually, my dear friend, you gotta be really kind to them. My dear friend, the yoga system you're practicing is actually comes from Bhagavad Gita. Have you ever read Bhagavad Gita? You say, oh no, I haven't. I think it's a good idea that you read Bhagavad Gita as it is presented by Srila Prabhupada. In this way you give them Bhagavad Gita. And then, once they read Bhagavad Gita, you make a contact with them. And then, once they read Bhagavad Gita, wow, it's pretty far out. It's pretty nice. They say, oh yeah, you know, it's what is so amazing? Krishna says, all the yoga system you've been doing is a waste of time. Krishna says, sarva dharma parityaja, that you should actually take to the process of bhakti yoga, to love Krishna. So in this way, you should present, one should present the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in that point of view, that Bhakti Yoga is the perfection of all the other yoga system. Similarly, Krishna is also, there's so many wonderful points. I couldn't really go through all these points. So Krishna points out here, he is the source of all the yoga system, he is the source of analytical study of philosophy, virtuous action, truthful religious principle, power, beauty, fame and self-control. So I have a question for all of you. What topic should I talk on? What point should I talk on? Or what point would you like to talk on? Oh, truthful religious principle. Again. My head is going to explode. Okay, truthful religious principle. Again, truthful religious principle can be understood as bhakti. There's no truth superior to bhakti. There is no religious principle that is superior to bhakti or love for Krishna. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, in its first verse and the second verse, establishes the establishes bhakti. Janmadayasya yata anvayat itaratas chartesh vibhyasvara. Even before that, Vyasadeva points out, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He destroys this impersonal concept and establishes bhakti, or the eternal religious principle. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya is understood as that I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is the Absolute Truth? Who is the Supreme Absolute Truth? In itself, it points out the difference between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in itself. That as a living entity, we must always offer our humble obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Absolute Truth. That Absolute Truth, later on it explains, Janmada yasya ata anvaya itaratas charteshva bhigya swaya, that He is the source of everything. Janmada yasya. He is the source of everything. Abhigya and Swarat is another significant point that it explains that Krishna is conscious of everything. He is aware of everything. So He is not impersonal. It's not a matter. He is actually the Supreme Person. He is a person. And then it also points out He is Swarat. This point totally destroys the impersonal concept. The impersonal concept is such that when one achieves perfection or liberation, then we can merge oneself with the Supreme. But in this verse, Swarat says that Krishna, He is independent. He is independent from all of us. So we cannot necessarily become God, because He is independent. He is different from us. And then the next verse it points out, Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam shukam mukadamrita dravya samritam. Is it Nigama kalpa? No. Dharma projita kaita vatra parama nirmasaranam satam. That the Bhagavatam destroys all sorts of cheating religion. It actually establishes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who He is. And Bhagavatam establishes the nature of the spirit soul, that is to serve Krishna. And that's where Bhagavatam actually carries on. It takes the devotees from beginning oneself, from understanding who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and takes them to the process where one can actually engage oneself in the truth, in the process of devotional service. Whereas Bhagavad Gita begins from who we are, the spirit soul, and ends with who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and that what should be the nature of the living entity, or the attitude of a living entity towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. And then Bhagavatam carries the student of Bhakti Yoga from that very beginning of verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, teaching the process of devotional service onwards. And in this way, Bhagavatam destroys the misconception of all the cheating religion, and establishes the true religious principles, the devotional process. Obviously, there are many, many verses pointing out towards that direction, that how Bhagavatam actually brings about this self-realization, love for God. It's just very interesting because I'm obviously studying counseling course. So one of the tasks for doing this assignment or essay is that we have to, one of the subject or module I'm studying is called Contemporary Society. The book Contemporary Society is this thick. this big. And apparently one of the students told me, oh, this book is a headache. This book is full of speculation. This is funny. So Rahul said, yeah, it is full of speculation. Were you a Hare Krishna previous life? Because this is the most common word that is being used in the Hare Krishna language. Speculation. Anyway, so then, and then the tutor or the educator explains how one should write an essay. And he goes on to say that you cannot actually bring about your own concept. When you write an essay, you have to back it up. You've got to source. You have to point out sources. You have to point out journals and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is so contradictory. You give us book, which is full of speculation. There's no facts or figures in it. And then you expect us to provide facts and figures. But Bhagavatam is not like that. Bhagavatam establishes the truth. It establishes the facts. It never has changed its teaching. Like Bhagavad Gita says, that the spirit soul exists. The spirit soul is the witnesser of the changes of the body. That there is this concept of reincarnation. But obviously the material science had always had doubts on this subject matter. Though they may have doubts, though the popularity of embracing one's body as the self has been really prominent, nevertheless, Bhagavatam never has changed its teaching. It always remains the same. Bhagavatam establishes the point of how the child goes through the womb from beginning to the end. Science has recently figured out that technology, how the child goes through. And it's very, very, very closely related to the concept of Bhagavatam. Obviously, Bhagavatam has much more detailed concept of the process of the child going through the womb. And then, recently, the contemporary society had been really proud the fact that they have created technology, you know. They have created objects that can fly in the air like airplanes. Fast way of communication and stuff like that. But that concept has been there in the Vedic literatures, the flying airplane, flower airplane, and through the power of mysticism you can go through one planet to another planet. So it's not a recent kind of invention, but that concept has been there from long, long time ago. But when we try to explain, actually, similarly, the same scripture is pointing out that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. They go, wow, this is far out, you know. Everything else is far out. But when you say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, that one has to serve Him, oh, that is too intense, that is so heavy. And then they back off. Then that's not true. How can you be dogmatic that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead? But whatever is stated in Bhagavatam is factual. One of the boy was asking, was talking about this, whether people have gone to the moon or not. You know, well, if you are qualified, you can go to the moon. But it doesn't look like they have gone to the moon, because if they did go to the moon, probably they were sent to refugee camp in the moon planet. And when they were not qualified, they were kicked out. Or when their pious credit had been finished, they were kicked out. But that concept of living entity going to the moon planet is also there in Bhagavatam. Or going to the heavenly planet, that's there in Bhagavatam. That a living entity can actually go from heaven, from earthly planet to the moon planet, even in this very lifetime. It's not an amazing fact. Even if you've gone to the moon, what is so amazing about it? What did you get? A stone? What good is the stone to the society? What good is the stone to the world? So that facts are there in Bhagavatam. But when we present that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, and that we are servant of Krishna, that, oh, you're dogmatic. And we have to understand, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, and that we are His servant. And if we do that, we can actually see the truth, as explained by the previous acharyas, the great souls, as explained by Krishna. Later on, Krishna asks Arjuna, "Oh Arjuna, it's up to you. I have spoken this transcendental science. Now what do you want me to do? If you want, I can explain this knowledge again. If you want, you can take up to the process. If you don't want, you don't have to take up to the process." And Arjuna explains later, "You have destroyed the ignorance of or the illusion, and I accept whatever you say as the truth." This is actually the perfection of spiritual life. It is actually you have a very, very good listening power. Hearing from the devotees, hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing from Krishna, hearing from your well-wishers who are very nice devotees. That could be your family members who could be your devotees. That could be even a stranger in the street. He said, "Oh, you're a devotee, how can you do this?" They say, "Oh yeah, Krishna is instructing me through this person." So when one has that attitude, one can actually achieve the perfection of life, and one can see the truth in this way. So in this way we can understand the yoga system, analytical philosophy, virtuous action, truthful religious principles, power, beauty, fame and self-control, all lies in bhakti, in the devotional process or devotional service. If we really look at it, devotional service has all those wonderful qualities and even more. Any criticism? Comments? Feedbacks? Yes, please. A real quick one. Yes. Yes.
He was saying, he was going with a strong monk.
Yes.
He was saying, "People call me as a great scholar, but I think I'm a fool."
Mm-hmm. That's humility. That means keeping away all the preconception who oneself is, who is oneself. That's a very good point. You know, though Sanatana Goswami was such a learned scholar, he knew so many languages. And in his home, he was studying Bhagavatam every day, pretty much. Though he was very, very well versed in Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of Quran and knew so much languages, and being a minister, you know, he had such a responsibility to, he had to know so many things. He kept all those preconceptions away and he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such an attitude. And that really touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart, that he became a foremost disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later on he wrote wonderful literatures which we are trying to imbibe ourselves in our lives. Very good point. Thank you. Any other? Yes, Matisi. Another. There's two answers to it. One is to go back home, back to Godhead, and ask Krishna himself. I'm just joking. Obviously, it is also understood that devotees' compassion is so compassionate that He doesn't really want to go to the spiritual world. He wants to come down to this earthly planet again and again so that he can give Krishna to others. And that is their greatest satisfaction. But again, Prabhupada is saying this out of humility again, you know. He's also trying to point out, please don't make me come back again to this material world. In other words, you should actually try to perfect yourself and go back and back to Godhead. Don't make it harder for me to come down again. There's so many other living entities I have to really focus on to help them to love Krishna. That you could understand in that point of view also. It's out of humility Prabhupada could be saying like that. Also another time, someone mentioned Bhagavatam class, I'm not sure who. I think so. It could be His Holiness Devadatta Maharaj. He might have made that point. Prabhupada actually had an argument with Krishna whether he should come to this material world or not. He didn't want to, but Krishna said he should. So, but obviously, that point Prabhupada made is very, very important for us to understand that we should not actually make it harder for the spiritual master. In one sense, we should not be selfish. We should try to make it easier for the spiritual master and assist the spiritual master. Generally, the concept of a spiritual master nowadays is that, oh, whatever problem one has, just dump it on the spiritual master. Obviously, the spiritual master is there to help the individual soul in their journey to spiritual life, but really speaking, that shouldn't be the attitude of a disciple, that, oh, I have this problem, so just load it off and just throw it on the spiritual master. When the concept of confidentiality comes in, as Rupa Goswami explains, that one should be revealing their mind and stuff like that, it doesn't mean you just go and dump yourself, dump this garbage one may have onto the spiritual master. It doesn't mean like that. It actually means, actually I'm really serious. I really want to make an advancement in spiritual life. I want to really make that move in spiritual life. I want to make it easier for you. I'm approaching you so that it can make it easier for me in my spiritual life, and that I can assist you in spreading Krishna consciousness. That should be the concept. So when Prabhupada does say that, we should understand the context of it. Prabhupada can come here again and again out of compassion, out of love, but we do not want to actually bring about that kind of attitude. Oh, spiritual master will come. So we don't really have to make a move in spiritual life. Prabhupada made that point so that we can actually make it a serious... It's a serious point that we should actually make a move in spiritual life in this lifetime and not give a hard time to our spiritual master. If you understand in that attitude, then I guess Prabhupada's point of that view will be, you know, fully understood. I hope it answers you. But if it isn't a good answer, as I said, you can go to the spiritual world and Krishna will give you that answer. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for being kind. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sada Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaurav Premanandi.